and mention the upcoming feast on Corpus Christi, which in some places is celebrated today. But we're looking forward to celebrating it on Sunday. Here in this local parish, we're also in the novena of preparation for the Feast of the Sacred Heart. It's a week from tomorrow. So today is actually the second day of the novena. And I was asked to offer one of the novena masses, tonight's mass. I had already accepted the invitation, and then the parish sent me the theme of the novena: empowering prayerful commitments toward walking together with Jesus, who purifies our hearts, our minds, and our souls. I read that, I said, wow, that's a mouthful. I'm not sure what that even means. It's a lot of good words, though. Empowering prayerful commitments toward walking together with Jesus, who purifies our hearts, our minds, and our souls. I thought at the time that maybe the committee that was coming up with the theme, they probably had a number of good ideas and they couldn't eliminate any of them, so they just put them all together, came up with a long one. Then last night I picked up the readings for today and I realized, oh, it came back to my mind, oh, this gospel is actually very, very good for this theme. It's the story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. It's a gospel about prayer. Bartimaeus prays, so empowering prayerful commitments. You could say, well, here's a very powerful prayer that Bartimaeus made toward walking together with Jesus. At the end of the gospel, Bartimaeus walks with Jesus on the road, who purifies our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Well, maybe it's not fair to try to squeeze the reading into the theme, or it's not good to do that to any passage of the Bible, right? We can't force the Bible into our own box, but you can see there's a good connection here. So let's take a moment to ponder this gospel. It's a beautiful story of faith and prayer and its effect. It starts out introducing us to the man, Bartimaeus. He's on the road going out of Jericho. He's blind. He's begging. It even gives his name and his father's name. He's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, which gives us the impression that perhaps Mark, who wrote this gospel, maybe knew him, because so many of the healing stories in the Bible don't give the name of the person who's healed, but this one does. Maybe Bartimaeus, because after all, he became a follower of Jesus. Maybe he was among the 72. Maybe he was a member of the early church. Probably he was. Imagine the effect of his testimony when he's told people about Jesus, I was blind and now I see. That's a great testimony. So here he is begging on the roadside. He hears that Jesus is passing by and he cries out to him. He prays. Very beautiful decision on the part of Bartimaeus. It might even strike us that Bartimaeus is the one who takes the initiative here. But remember, God is always at work first. God is always the one who inspires first. So it was God who gave Bartimaeus this faith to be able to pray. Where did Bartimaeus get the idea that Jesus would be able to cure him? Well, maybe he heard that he had already cured other people. Maybe the news had spread everywhere. But that doesn't mean, because we've heard that too, it doesn't mean that we think it's going to work for us. Just because we hear that other people get a blessing doesn't necessarily mean that we'll have the faith to ask for a blessing ourselves. But Bartimaeus does. So God is already at work in the heart of the blind man. We could say he can already see because he has faith. He can see that Jesus is a source of blessing for him. Well, he uses the word pity. He can see that Jesus is Son of David, title of the Messiah. The way it's said here, you can see the the shift that goes on in Bartimaeus. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David. He doesn't say, Jesus, son of Nazareth, have pity on me. He says, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Now, Bartimaeus here represents all of us. We are all beggars. We are all blind. We can't see what we long to see. We can't see what God is doing. Very often it seems as if God is not doing anything, or he's not doing what he should, or he's allowing us to suffer, or our loved ones to suffer. The right response in those moments of darkness is prayer. Prayer. Empowering prayer for commitments. Powerful prayer. Cry out with prayer. Cry out to Jesus. The first thing that happens to Bartimaeus, though, is he gets rebuked. Be silent. Isn't this our experience sometimes? We pray, and it seems to make things worse first, or it seems as if we're rejected, either by people who know that we're praying for something, or by God himself. I think anyone who prays knows this experience. We pray for something. Pray for the healing of a loved one, for example. Someone's going to the hospital. Lord, heal him, heal her. And then we find out, oh, got a bad diagnosis. Not only did God not heal the person, but it looks worse than we thought. And what happened to the prayer? What happened to the powerful prayer? Lord, heal her. You didn't. Well, that's something like Bartimaeus' experiences. Jesus, have pity on me. Be quiet. Be quiet. What's the response of Bartimaeus? More prayer. More fervent prayer. See how this is a good example for us? We don't get what we want. It seems like things are getting worse when we pray. And the temptation is, well, that didn't work. Why should I bother doing that anymore? No. The right response is pray more. Pray with greater faith. He kept calling out all the more. Son of David, have pity on me. Call out all the more in prayer. Because very often the negative experience is God's way of drawing us to something greater, purifying our intention. And we need this purification because often when we pray, we think that prayer is telling God what to do. And it's not that. So if we're telling God what to do, Lord, do this, do that, he is very likely to say, well, wait a minute. You're not the one in charge here. You're the beggar here. You're the blind beggar here. Don't lose understanding of your place and your need. Cry out for pity. Cry out for mercy. Cry out for light to be able to see, because maybe this terrible thing that we're praying for is not at all what we think it is. It might even be a blessing. Blessing in disguise is the expression. Anyway, look what happens. One of the effects of the prayer, the more intense prayer, is Jesus stops and says, call him. Instead of calling him himself, Jesus tells someone else to call him. See how Jesus incorporates others into the process? It's like an orchestration. Jesus is using other people, or perhaps giving other people an opportunity to see what he's doing, because they're blind too, after all. The ones who are saying, be quiet, they're blind spiritually. Call him. The very ones who are telling Bartimaeus to be quiet suddenly have this commission to call him. See how they have to change? Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you. It's quite a shift in the people, not in Bartimaeus yet, but in the people. They're the ones who get the benefit of Bartimaeus' prayer. Jesus is calling you. So they become instruments of of God for the blind man, meaning their eyes are open too. Something has changed here. Not only is this man not supposed to be silent, but Jesus has a particular interest in this man. Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak, sprang up and came to Jesus. Now he's blind, so for a blind man to throw aside his cloak and spring up and start running any place is a leap of faith. It's trust. Then the dialogue continues. Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Something to ponder. We pray. We experience that the Lord is listening to our prayer. And then, to our surprise, he asks us what we want him to do. Well, what do we want Jesus to do for us? What do you want Jesus to do for you? It's more than you thought. It's deeper than that first request. We want someone to be healed. I want some solution to this problem. Yes, we want that. But we also want a deeper communion with him. We want deeper understanding. Bartimaeus says it simply, "Master, I want to see. I want to see." It's a beautiful prayer. Lord, may I see. What will we see when we, well, we'll see the will of God. We'll see the plan of God unfolding. We might see things that we don't like, including things about ourselves. But we want to see. We want to know the truth. We want light. And that's what God wants for us too. So when we pray, "Master, I want to see," he allows us to see. If we want to see, he allows us to see. Not just with our eyes, but with the heart and with faith. And then Jesus makes that connection. "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." He doesn't say, "Go your way, now you can see." He says, "Your faith has saved you." Faith is the way to see. That's the deepest response to the longing of your heart. See, believe. He immediately received his sight. Okay, that's the miracle that everybody's impressed by. But what really happens is he can see that he's being called as a follower of Jesus. And that's what he does. He gets up and follows Jesus. He becomes a disciple. What a great fruit of that prayer. What a great story of empowering prayerful commitments toward walking together with Jesus. Bartimaeus is not the only one walking with Jesus. The others who saw this miracle are also moved to follow him and to participate in the healing. Walking together with Jesus, who purifies our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Perhaps Peter, who was present for this miracle, has this in mind in his work of proclaiming the gospel. Today's first reading comes from St. Peter. Now, he's not thinking probably about Bartimaeus when he writes this, but he is thinking about the fruitfulness of prayer. He's thinking about how God enlightens us, who opens the eyes of our hearts. And he says, this is what the Lord is doing, so respond to this. You've tasted that the Lord is good. Well, come to him. Keep longing to be part of him. Be built on him like living stones. This is the line that stands out for me. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Called you out of darkness, just like Bartimaeus was called out of darkness, just like any one of us in our blindness. When we turn to the Lord, he calls us out of darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of our attachments or whatever sinful patterns that are afflicting us. He calls us out of that into his wonderful light, the wonderful light that makes it possible for us to follow him. "Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You see what Peter's reflecting on? This change, or this difference between the way it was before and the way it is now. Used to be darkness, blindness, begging, helplessness. And now it's wonderful light. Now it's belonging to God. Now it's mercy of God. And that's what we have to share with others. I urge you as aliens and sojourners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against the soul. Worldly desires are tugging us into darkness. They blind us if we let them. Keep away from that. Don't let that happen. We're journeying with Jesus now. We're not journeying in the way of the flesh. Okay, so with Bartimaeus as our example, we continue to journey. We look forward to Corpus Christi. We look forward to Feast of the Sacred Heart. And we look forward to continuing this journey with Jesus and with those who are his followers, so that the light that we have received can be shared with all.